and thanks for joining us here at Fantasy Watch, the podcast where you can get all the information you need about anything and everything related to Overwatch fantasy sports, league news, and player performance. This is Abnerd, and I'm joined by Invictus.
Greetings, dudes.
We'll start with just a little bit of information about ourselves and why we're doing this. Why don't you tell us about yourself, Invictus?
All right, hey, like you said, my name's Invictus. I'm super excited to be here doing this podcast with Abnerd. I've been playing fantasy sports for about 10 years now, a lot of fantasy football, but mostly fantasy baseball. At least that's what I like the most. And I've been playing Overwatch since closed beta, and I've really always loved it. I've been super interested in watching the pro scene and seeing how that develops. And as Overwatch League comes out, I've heard, guys like Trevor May and Captain Planet and Harsha and stuff talk about how stats are going to be used in sabermetrics and the analyzing of these things. And I'm sitting here thinking, wait a second, this is all that math and all that stuff I sat here and listened to when I'm doing fantasy baseball. So what can I do to make these things, mate and create a beautiful love child? And so here we are. And Abner, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and your background?
All right, thanks. So yeah, I mean, definitely I've been playing video games for most of my life. I wasn't one of the lucky ones who got into the Overwatch beta. I actually started right around the end of season one. And that was over on Xbox. My time over there, I was able to get up to high diamond before deciding I wanted to switch over to PC. And that's where you and I ended up being able to connect, start talking about our love of Overwatch, esports, things like that. From there, you started talking to me about the possibility of Overwatch League, fantasy sports, and things like that, which I wasn't initially that interested in. My experience with fantasy leagues in the past has been pretty limited, mainly having to do with an NHL league that I joined, set a roster, and forgot about. Definitely didn't win that one. But once you and I had some time to sit down and start talking about it, it really did pique my interest. One of the big things I do at work is analyze and look at statistics. So with that, it's really something that I think that I can bring to the table, especially with us now trying to develop our own fantasy league when it comes to Overwatch in the meantime while we wait for Blizzard to get their act together. So definitely it's something that I'm super excited about, especially if we can have some type of impact on the growth of the Overwatch League and player engagement through fantasy sports.
Absolutely, man. That's definitely what fantasy is all about, man. It's about finding more engagement for the casual viewer and just investing in a sport or a game and really feeling that at home and attaching yourself to different aspects of it.
Definitely. I mean, with you and I, we both kind of saw that was going to be a big part of the Overwatch League, and we really wanted to kind of make that happen. So it looks like with Season 1, it's probably not going to be something that Blizzard's going to have worked out. So, you and I spent this time creating some different point structures, things like that, so that we can go ahead and make it a reality.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, I know that Blizzard has mentioned it. It's been in a couple articles that Blizzard has talked about it, or at least it's on some broad horizon spectrum view for them. And, that's fine and dandy, but, I like flying by the seat of my pants, and I like being a little bit creative and getting a little dirty. And, where I struggle, you definitely have some strength in the math and the Excel and the statistic analysis stuff that, while I do good trying to figure it all out and understanding it, I can kind of explain to you, how we develop it, and we can make a beautiful project out of it.
For sure. And I mean, even just through, the couple of weeks I've been working on this, it really seems like that's starting to come together. Definitely there's a couple things we want to make sure we talk about here in this first episode. Those are going to be, the different types of point structures or, league formats that there are in fantasy sports. And you'll be able to go ahead and talk to us about a whole lot of that stuff. We're also going to be talking about the upcoming preseason games, talk about some of the players that are going to be, stand out, stuff like that. And then we'll also talk to you guys about how you can help get involved with the project.
All right. Yeah, absolutely. Because, we do want a lot of feedback here. Like I said, we're really flying by the seat of our pants, and we don't exactly have 100% plan. I mean, Blizzard hasn't necessarily released all of the information that we're going to be getting during the league. And we're really hoping that we get that after the preseason games. If not, it's going to be flying even more by the seat of our pants. But we're down to do it because this is something we love, and this is going to be a cool project. Now, what that means is we actually need people to help out. And at the end of this, we're going to give you guys an opportunity on how you can connect with us and how you can get involved.
Awesome. Well, at this point, we'll go ahead. We'll start talking about, the different ways that you can format a fantasy sport. There's three major ones. We got the head-to-head points. We have rotisserie. And then we got the head-to-head category. So you want to go ahead and tell us a little bit about the head-to-head points?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, like you said, there's three different main types of leagues. And I want to talk to you guys about what we're going with, how we arrived at that conclusion, as well as what the other league structures offer and also what they don't offer and why we went, how we, with the direction we went. So first would be head-to-head points. Like you said, you know, this is probably the most popular league. Most of you that have played fantasy football have played head-to-head points leagues. Now, the way that this works is you have your roster and your players score points based on the statistics that they take during the football game, the baseball game, whatever it is. Every stat that they take has a numerical value. It creates a total point score. And at the end of the week, your point score versus the person you're facing's point score are compared, and whoever wins, they get the win for that week. At the end of the season, your overall record with your head-to-head matchups is where you get your league standings from going into the playoffs. Those are a lot of good things. People love head-to-head leagues because head-to-head leagues are the ones where you get to smack talk, if you will. You can, hit your buddy up and make wagers because that's who you're playing against this week. And it offers a fun dynamic. It also makes it easy and rewarding because you can always try to win one week. You might get lucky one week. You might have a horrible week. Your player might get benched last second because you didn't notice that he got the flu and tweeted that out. You never know. I think that those are going to be things that we address as we go and can be really fun.
For sure. I know that, the head-to-head is definitely the way that seems most interesting to me. You got your buddy that you're facing off against each and every week. It does seem like it'll be a whole lot better for the community that way.
Absolutely. I definitely agree. And I think that head-to-head's definitely probably the most fun, although we will go over the other ways because I do think that one of them would be an interesting point scoring league. It'd be a little bit overwhelming for the first season.
I know the head-to-head points also seems like more fun as far as trying to develop how to do the scoring for someone who likes math a whole lot. So
yeah, definitely.
Definitely a fun project for us to tackle throughout all this.
And then you have, but there are the big issues for head-to-head points is actually the points themselves. Captain Planet and Overbuff put together a really cool idea for an article that they did on Fantasy Overwatch and what that point structure would look like. And it's like each roster has like 690 points or 700 points or something like that. And that seems really cool. That's so high, man. But the issue is that they did that based off of one game and they're playing two a week. And that means that, you're probably scoring, between 1,100 and 1,500 points a week. That's a little bit rough to deal with, especially when we're doing all this stuff by hand or through Excel. On top of that, those numbers just kind of get messy at the end of the week. And then I think that because the numbers would be high, it would be a little bit harder to calculate. And I think that there are easier ways to do head-to-head, and we'll talk about that way last. But before I get to that, I do want to mention rotisserie because for those of you hardcore fantasy nuts, you'll know rotisserie is actually the first way that fantasy baseball was ever made. Fantasy baseball is the first fantasy sport. And rotisserie is a total points accumulated throughout the season is how you develop your ranking. So there's no head-to-head matchup. It's just you draft your players. Everything they do throughout the season, like earlier, gives you a point value. That point value is calculated up. Whoever has the players with the best overall stats at the end of the season, who has the most points, they win the league, and it goes down the amount of points like that. Whereas, in head-to-head, you can sometimes end up in a situation where you have the most points scored of anybody in the league overall. but you're still in like the bottom three in the league because you've lost your head-to-head matchups because other people have had their best weeks ever against you, like every week, and I've seen it happen. Whereas in rotisserie, go ahead.
I was going to say, I could definitely see where, you know, that could be pretty triggering.
Oh, yeah.
To have, you know, the most points, make all the right picks for your games and stuff like that, but you end up, you know, not making it to the playoffs or winning the league, stuff like that.
Yep, absolutely. I mean, I've seen in my baseball league this year, actually, I have a pretty substantial keeper league I've been in for about 4 years now, and one of the championship game was played between the person who was in first place the entire season and the person who made the playoffs by the skin of their teeth, and the one who made the playoffs by the skin of their teeth won, and they have like the second lowest points total of the whole league, and they beat the person who had the highest, and that's just the, just the way it works, dude. In rotisserie, though, there is no playoffs. It's just at the end of the season, it's all total points accumulated, tells you who's won.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And so that can be really interesting, too. But for the first season, especially now, we're talking about a whole new level of scoring that you would have to develop and keep track of and keep running totals of. And I do think it does bring a little bit less engagement for the casual viewer because you really could set it and just take off and forget. On top of that, you know, we want to see engagement with people with the trash talk and have a reason to watch every single game. Because with rotisserie, you don't need to watch every game. Your players are there. And yes, you might want to swap them depending on if they're playing or not that week, but there isn't necessarily the same key that where you have to be involved in this every week or you want to watch every week because each week you could be like on the chopping block. You could win or lose. You're just right there. You just need to Vic to get three more kills, man.
Yeah. I mean, it's a lot of big differences between those two.
Yeah. So then that kind of leads us to the third point, which is head-to-head category. Head-to-head category is awesome for a lot of different reasons. It provides all the same benefits that your head-to-head points league does. Except for head-to-head category scores things in a much simpler way, especially when you're talking about, you know, possibly having, you know, thousands of points scored in another in the points league system every week. This, you could score all of those points and you can get those really high, ridiculous numbers and not have to worry about them in the overall score. You know, I'm going to include some links in the show notes so that you guys can kind of see images of what these scorecards and stuff would look like. But, you know, just for explaining it over the air a little bit here, you know, I did write down this example. So, you know, in the categories league, say you have two teams, you got Joe's Junkers and you got Harry's Harbingers, right? So there are five categories in this league. Now, you want more categories than that, but for simplicity of example, I got five right now. You had damage, kills, ultimate efficiency, objective time, and healing, okay? Five all fairly important stats for the game. Now, I have other stats in mind. Hopefully, we'll be able to use them, but we're working on that. So, but for the example, Joe's Junkers gets 250 kills, does 369,000 damage. I don't even know if that number is possible. Bear with me. I'm not sure. Don't fact check me. Has a combined ult efficiency of an average of 58%. And then they do 199,000 healing, and they got 12 minutes, 53 seconds on the objective. Then you got Harry's Harbingers coming in with 185 kills, 420,000 damage, a 47% ult efficiency, 215,153 healing, because that's exact, and 14 minutes and 21 seconds on the objective. In this example, Joe's Junkers won kills. They lost in damage, they lost in healing, and they lost in the objective time. So just because they had the most kills, they didn't necessarily win overall. This is another important reason that I think that head-to-head categories is the best for Season 1 Overwatch League. Meta and balance is very hard to know right now. And stat value and balance is very hard to understand. We're in a points league. We could find out 3 weeks from now that you know, the way we got the points, or I mean, not 3 weeks, 3 months from now, we could find out the way we were scaling the points made it basically pointless to even put healers on your roster. But in head-to-head categories, you can determine who's important based on what categories you include in the league.
I definitely know that, at least for me, when we were going through all these, we started the project, is the head-to-head category seemed like it was going to be the most simple one for like a casual, someone new to fantasy sports getting into it. It's pretty simple to read. You can tell that, my team did more damage, so I get 1 point. We spent less time on the objective, so we didn't get a point. At the end of it, you can clearly see, you had 5 categories, so you could say, I lost 3-2.
Yeah.
It's super simple, and it's definitely a whole lot easier with us not really even knowing what kind of statistics we're going to get from the league. And that's probably the biggest thing.
Absolutely. And I think, too, like I said earlier about the engagement, my little silly example with Tavik, though, is, in the head-to-head categories, you could be getting smoked in kills and damage. But you could still be tied in the game because you have 6 categories, they have 6 categories, and the only person you have left is like Miro, and he's playing Winston and his game's been off, but you just need him to pull out 3 more kills, or get, if he can get, 45 extra seconds in the next 2 maps on the map or on the objective, that you're going to win. Because the only person they have left is, Soon, who isn't going to be on the payload a ton and might not be on the point a ton. So you're like, I got to out objective time, and that wins you. Like, you just need to get that one category sometimes. And so I think that kind of, like I said earlier, one of our main focuses of why we want to do this is so that we can get more engagement for the Overwatch League. I've already seen some people say like, oh, I want to tune in for the Fuel games and I'll catch what I can of the rest. And I get that, because in fantasy football, that's what you do all the time. Or, I mean, in football regularly. But then I started playing fantasy, and I was like, I'm a Patriots fan, but, I'd rather see my fantasy team win the fantasy league than see the Patriots win the Super Bowl. Don't tell anybody I said that. Granted, this year's different, though, because I have Tom Brady, Chris Hogan. Oh, please come back.
And I don't think you have to worry about it. They cheat all the way to the Super Bowl every year, right?
Hey, winning's winning. It doesn't matter if you win by an inch or a mile. Every real racer knows that. But yeah, we want to find it and give people reasons to be engaged in every single match, even the ones that could be between the last place teams, because that's a beautiful thing about fantasy, is just because you're a great player in real life doesn't make you a great player in fantasy, and vice versa. You could be a mediocre player on the best team, or you could be an amazing player who's stuck on Lucio, like wins, and you just sit the payload all the time. Like, getting a guy like Wins in Rogue's heyday, would have won you the objective categories all the time. And that's how baseball works. You have somebody who get like a steals guy, you get like Billy Hamilton, and you're like, every week I'm going to win steals, man. His batting average isn't going to carry me, but because he gets steals so consistently, I'm going to win that. So there could be a Lucio player that you're like, man, this person gets more payload time than anybody else. They'll get me one category every single week.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just really looking forward to, even some of like those Miro examples where, I'm just sitting on the edge of my couch, biting my nails, hoping that I get the points that I need so that, I can get the win for the week. So, I mean, those are all things that I probably wouldn't be as invested in the games if I wasn't playing. And those are really, I think, the things that are going to make this, fantasy portion of the Overwatch League really be impactful and really important.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that, we get to see that as these games are coming up right now. I'm super excited for the week's games, for the preseason matches that are going to be next weekend, or this weekend, depending on what time we release this. But, because not only are we going to see a lot of these teams and these rosters for the first times, but hopefully we'll be able to see some of these stats and finalizing our score sheet, so that we can kind of finalize some rules, the stats that are going to be taken, and how those are going to be calculated and or weighted.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, just beyond just checking out the games and seeing these things, I really do want to see what we're going to be getting from the league as far as the stats are concerned. Because, you know, I do think the idea with like the head-to-head points would be pretty awesome, but I really think you need a good baseline, which maybe season one, that can be the baseline for us. But without knowing exactly how you're going to structure those points, you could definitely mess it up and someone could just cheese the whole first season. You know, there ends up being like one skill shot that earns you a whole bunch of points that you're able to do. I think you and I were talking about like headshots with Zenyatta.
Yeah. So,
you know, if they're just, you know, getting like 50 headshots a game, and then you're just comparing that one-to-one with like Anna sleep darts, you know, it's just not even going to be worth playing anybody who's playing Anna. You'll just want to like pick up you know, a Zenyatta main each and every week.
Exactly. And so I think that that's exactly why I think head-to-head categories is good. But also that kind of segues into another thing that we've been talking about is, you know, with our league, we are going to be kind of publishing and keeping our results, you know, out there so that you guys can see as we kind of go through this journey together. One thing I do want to say is that it is going to be ever changing. We're flying by the seat of our pants, and we expect to be making changes to our system and tweaks, and we're going to try to keep those to when we do or the season or phase breaks between each phase. That way, you know, it kind of keeps a little bit of consistency throughout each phase.
Definitely. I mean, the continuity is definitely going to help out. But, you know, there is going to be a lot of experimentation until we find what's going to work out best. So, I mean, I'm excited to try all the different stuff until we kind of settle on which one of these formats is going to be best. But definitely to start the head-to-head categories, it's going to be really simple for, you know, a lot of new players to get into. It's something that I'm already really excited about. I was able to pick up and understand it, you know, just in one conversation with you. So, you know, we got some good stuff coming, that's for sure.
Absolutely. And so this next little segment we're going to go into, we do want to talk to you guys about the preseason a little bit more in depth and make a few predictions as kind of do some player talk, maybe mention who we're excited to see on each one of these teams. So the first thing I do want to talk about, though, is the preseason games as a whole. Because while we talk about, hey, we're going to use these stats or we're going to need these stats, and hopefully Blizzard gives them to us, but, you know, because on the website there is a stats section, we're hoping that we see what they're going to post after preseason, but it is going to be very difficult to kind of get an actual number off of those, because I'm not convinced that all of the teams or all of the players are going to be playing to their best ability. And this is kind of a show match. It counts for not a lot, and I don't expect anybody to be giving up their best strategies, at least not all of the teams. I think some of the teams are probably in a situation where they might be trying to overcompensate, perform extra hard because maybe Reddit and some other people and people on Twitter who might or might not be me said they might suck, but apparently they might not. So, you know, I'm really excited to see that, you know? And so we'll see how the numbers come out. But more importantly, it's just that they show what numbers are going to be available so that we can continue to develop this league for everyone, mostly for ourselves, but everyone.
That's for sure. Well, we'll go in and we'll talk about Wednesday first. So the first game on Wednesday is going to be, you know, Florida Mayhem versus the Philadelphia Fusion. So what are you thinking with that game?
You know, we kind of know a little bit of what to expect out of Mayhem, as it's been the Misfits roster for the most part of contenders. I am excited to see them, you know, long term. It definitely intrigues me who they may pick up halfway through the season break when they can pick up new players. You know, but I do think that Mayhem's going to bring some good stuff to the table, but I'm not super excited to see them play, because it's kind of like, you know, when your cousin lives down the street from you and you're like at the family reunion, you're like, I see you all the time, man. I've been watching you play. But I am excited to see him in the league. I'm happy for him. You know, but I do want to see Fusion. You know, they're who they're facing off against, and they're kind of an unknown. Fusion has a really good roster. Obviously, they've had some drama lately. We don't necessarily need to go super deep into that, other than I wouldn't draft Seda.
Yep.
But go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I mean, I'm definitely excited to see, you know, how some of these players are going to mesh into the new team. You know, one of my favorites, Boombox, I'm ready to see what he can do out there in Philadelphia.
Yeah, absolutely. I think he's one of the players I'm super excited with for Philadelphia, because I did love watching him play before. Another one that will be playing for Fusion, obviously, I really like watching Carpe play just because the dude is nuts on Tracer, and I aspire to be that good one day. But is there anybody else on those rosters that intrigues you, or anybody on Mayhem?
Well, I mean, the main thing that I'm wondering is, you know, Mayhem, they only have the 6-man roster. So, I mean, what's really going to be happening, you know, if the meta shifts? They just really don't have that flexibility that most of the other teams have at this point. So, I mean,
they got some deep hero pools. I'm not so worried about that. I think, especially for fantasy perspective, I think the most intriguing thing would be who they pick up mid-season, and that's definitely something that we'll address in later episodes.
Awesome. Next game up is going to be Valiant versus Ashok. So with this one, I mean, I'm really pulling for the San Francisco Ashok.
Yeah. So Valiant, Immortals, whatever you want to call them. I guess they are Valiant now, but I think they have a good roster. I'm not as excited, again, kind of like Misfits, as I've been watching them play. I've seen them play in multiple tournaments. They do have some new additions, which I think are great. I'm really excited to see what Space can do with them. Silk Thread is an awesome pickup. And I recently heard an interview with some of them, and I was pretty impressed with what they were saying. So I'm excited. Verbo definitely has always impressed me. He's very well-spoken. And obviously Soon, like, is flipping nuts.
Yeah, guy's crazy. Verbo is definitely one of my favorite supports. What I'm really excited is, it love him or hate him, it's been a long time since I've been able to see IDDQD play in a professional game, so I'm really wondering what he's gonna bring.
Yeah, I actually watch IDDQD quite a bit when I'm at work, and I really do like his stream.
Yep.
And I like how he plays. I mean, he's a really smart player. I kind of listen to some of the stuff he's talked about. He's not a player I hate. There are definitely players I hate. He's not one of them. But I think that team is very interesting, especially from a fantasy perspective, because they have a ton of DPS, and they have some of the other players on their team are fairly aggressive. They brought a couple people over from Selfless and Dak and Sinatra, which, they're amazing. I wonder if Sinatra can even play in this, because it's a show match, so I guess it doesn't count for anything, but maybe since he's not 18 yet, they won't let him play in preseason either.
I hadn't even thought about that. I mean, it'd be pretty cool if they did let him, just so he gets some experience, playing in this format in the league.
Yeah,
but, on I'm not stage. Really going to be holding my breath for it.
Yeah, I'm not either. I do think it'd be cool, though, but I doubt they will. But those are all players that we'll definitely be going over when we kind of do some rankings, because I think that they're all players that probably should be picked up on every roster. But who's after that? What's the next matchup?
We got Dynasty versus the Dragons, and this is a match that I'm pretty excited about.
Yeah, dude, I'm with you. I mean, the Dragons are, while you can find footage on most of them and kind of look them up and try to see, I mean, the Chinese scene for most people in North America is fairly unknown. Up until lately, we didn't even really have much to watch, but they've been having more and more with APAC and the Nexus Cup.
Definitely, and I know both you and I were talking about, catching up on some of the games from the Nexus Cup. So, I definitely want to see what they have to bring, what different stuff they have going on in their meta. Because, just before the show, you and I were talking about, a lot of times in China, they're kind of in their own bubble. They got their own metas. They play the game a whole lot differently than most other regions. So while I'm not really holding my breath that the Dragons are going to win, I definitely want to see what they have to bring.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of people in the power rankings putting the Dragons kind of like at the bottom of the rankings, and I'm not convinced. I actually think the league is going to be a lot more competitive than a lot of people, including myself, originally thought.
Exactly.
And I think that, all of these teams are going to be in an environment where they play and they play and they play in the same settings with like no lag and no ping, and they're going to be practicing against each other and playing against each other every week. It is going to be something where, sure, some teams may flounder, but I think that most of the ships will rise with the ocean. If you get what I'm saying, yep. Like, And so I'm not too worried about most of the rosters. I think that they're all going to have a lot of talent. And I'm really excited, though, to see what Shanghai can do. On the other end of that coin, you got Seoul Dynasty, a team that's, you know, guaranteed to you know, probably be in the top four. A lot of people saying they're guaranteed to be in the top two. And I don't blame them. I mean, their roster has seen so much success. And then you bring in a couple other players that are extremely talented and you put them in there. I am interested to see overall how the team does without Eska. I've heard that he did a lot of their calls and was a pretty vocal part of their team. Hopefully they can kind of work around that. But, I mean, the rest of the roster is full of statistical outliers. I mean, it's a fantasy player's dream, depending on how scoring goes. I mean, Jay Hong could legitimately be a number one pick every year.
I think so. I mean, that guy is – it's nuts. So, I mean, I definitely you know, I don't have the knowledge of fantasy sports like you do, but I definitely know there's a couple of people on that team that I'm going to want to pick up.
Yeah, because they're just good. And I think that that's going to be the most important thing for the first year of the draft. I mean, people are going to all need to trade and work things around and pick up off the waivers and midseason pickups and things. But, you know, you want to draft the best players you can find. And I can't envision a world where most of the players on a lot of these teams aren't owned. It'll be interesting to see what goes on this week, though, because you know, what players are going to be on the bench, and do you want the bench players? How often are they coming off? Is it going to be worth rostering them or starting them if you think they may be off the bench for the team that week? Those are real questions you'll need to ask.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, with it being preseason, are they going to be benching maybe some of their, you know, star players just to get more experience for the newer guys, the guys who aren't as familiar with lands and stuff like that? So,
yeah, I didn't even think about that, but that is possible and a good question to ask.
For sure. Well, you know, that would finish up Wednesday. Then we got Thursday. First game on Thursday is going to be Gladiators versus London. So with that, what are you thinking?
Well, like I just said, man, London's a great example of who are they going to play?
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, like, Prophet, Rascal, like, Birdring, Hurek. Who are they going to play? Like, who are going to be their starting 2-3 DPS?
You got so many good players, man.
Yeah, you got Fisher, Jester, like, which tanks are going to go? Which supports are going to play? Like, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what London's going to do. No one knows what London's going to do. But
it'll be a good first match for the day.
Absolutely. And on top of that, maybe they just play like all 12 players and they go back and forth between maps. Like, this is something I thought about. You know, like, if you're London Spitfire at this point, say you pick up two rosters, right? And the Kongdu roster, and I'd have to go back and look at map scores to give you any accuracy on any of this because I have no idea, but hypothetical, say you want to just, the Kongdu is super good at 2CP and hybrid maps, and you're like, all right, we're going to have the Kongdu roster only practice this, and then we're going to have our other roster, the GC Busan roster, is only going to focus on winning King of the Hill and full payload. You know, like, and then what that's do you a, do?
That's a, I hadn't even thought about that. That seems like it'd be a pretty solid strategy.
I mean, like, if you got two rosters, 2 6-man teams that could do that, and then if someone gets sick, they can still fill in, you know?
Yeah.
But you could end up with like this team that's like only focused on one winning one map type, which may be good, but also could be bad. Who knows? Like, what does that mean for fantasy? Does that mean you don't want to own anyone on the London Spitfire because they're only going to play, you know, four maps a week or three maps a week compared to other players who are going to play six or seven maps a week?
For sure. I mean, definitely from like a from a organization standpoint, it's definitely something that I would want to try out. I think it could definitely pay some dividends, but as far as for fantasy sports, I could definitely see that being a train wreck, because, you know, if your player has half the playtime, then, you know, you're just not going to put up the points that you need. Now
but on the same note as that, say, for example, a team is really bad, and this is something that you see happen in football sometimes. You get a team that's consistently behind all of the time, and so they're playing, trying to play catch-up, and so you get ahead. It's like the Patriots, for example. If they're crushing somebody, they're just going to run the football. So sometimes you could have a really good team, and you want their running back because all they're going to do is garbage time runs. Or it could be the opposite. You could be on a team, you know, that's constantly trying to play catch up, so you know that their quarterback's going to be throwing long balls, and you just got to hope that they get lucky.
In the context of Overwatch, you know, what kind of Hail Marys can you see being thrown?
I mean, I hate to say, you know, any team or rank any team right now, because I don't think that's necessarily fair, especially since some of the things I said early on have apparently been disproven. But hypothetically, if a team was maybe bad, mm-hmm. And they were, you know, getting shut out all the time and 3-0'd, you know, you might not necessarily want their players because they're just getting smacked. But say, for example, there's a team that's truly middle of the road and they're really just pushing everybody to close matches. Well, that's what you want. You want to grab their Lucio or something like that, maybe, because they're going to get you a ton of objective time, because this is somebody who the map scores are going up to 6-5, 6-7, you know, stuff like that, where you're going to get repetitive time on the payload, or repetitive time on the point, like on a Volskaya or something like that.
Yeah. You know, I hadn't even thought about it, but, you know, at the end of the day, it might be just best to get people off those middle of the pack teams that, you know, if they're able to take games to like overtime and overtime and overtime, I mean, that's just more and more damage healing that you're going to be racking up, stuff like that. So,
exactly. And, you know, just because, say, for example, you're like, okay, soon gets tons of points, hypothetically, right? Does that mean you want to have the best Tracer player for every team on a roster? Not necessarily, because you don't know how each team, how they play an individual hero, or how the player plays those heroes can affect what they do. You know, I read somewhere or listened to a podcast. I can't remember which one it was. It might have been the High Noon podcast, or it could have been the Overwatch League Network. I'm not sure, or totally someone different. But they were talking about the Valiant, and how their Tracer stats were some of the worst during Contender season one, as far as like the pulse bomb kills and stuff. But the pulse bomb sticks were high, and it was because they were using them to D-mech D.Va all the time.
And so, you know what? I heard the same thing, and it's not something you really think about.
Yeah, and you know, so how players are using those abilities, because, like, you know, hypothetically, if one of the stats for Tracer was, you know, pulse bomb sticks and pulse bomb kill ratio, something like that, if that Tracer is constantly using it on a D.Va, that might not be the way you want to go. It's something really to think about, and how those heroes are used, as well as the playstyle of the teams, which we don't necessarily know about yet.
Yeah, and, you know, the more and more we talk about this, the more I realize that, you know, just going for, like, the best players or the best teams, you know, that's not necessarily going to be the best way for you to, you know, structure your team and your league. Mm-hmm. But I think we got sidetracked there a little bit. We do have the next game, which I know this is going to be the one that I'm most excited for.
Oh, we didn't go over the Gladiators real quick. But I do want to finish one segment of thought, so I apologize for bringing us back to that. But
no, you're good.
One of the things with fantasy, especially with the players, is you're right with you not necessarily wanting the best player. Because, say, for example, you know, Dynasty is just smacking people hardcore. You know, you might be getting tons of points for map wins or for overall wins or something like that. But if, say, for example, your players are winning every game 3-0 and 2-0 and, you know, stuff like that, they may be full holding and they're only getting 17 kills. You know, if London goes in and smacks on the Gladiators and the Gladiators don't do anything to stop them, you know, they won't get enough kills to even, you know, make their scores worth it. So it's both, you don't necessarily want the best, but it all really depends. And I think that this is something that we're going to have an ongoing discussion about to try to balance that as we go forward, because, you know, you don't necessarily want to do necessarily just straight kills. What stats are they going to give us so that we can get different numbers and things like that? And how can we make sure that it's balanced?
But as I was going to say, definitely a total like shift in how you think about things to make sure that you're maximizing your points and stuff. What do you got to say about the Gladiators? Because I'm going to be honest with you, other than a couple players on this team, I don't really know much about them.
I mean, the players that I do know, some of them I'm excited for, some of them ambivalent. I'm really excited to see, though, what Asher can do, because I've heard great things, and I heard that he is just smashing people on the ladder from one of my buddies. Sure, for known quantity, great player, amazingly a great player. I heard you just beat on AKM in a 1v1, so that I want to go back and watch that VOD. But, you know, I've been watching him, and I actually played with him and against him back in the closed beta. He's a great guy and a really good player and a great competitor, and I'm excited to see what he can do in the league. Hydration's exciting to me because he's a standout player, a great Pharah. I really enjoyed watching him at his time with CLG. And they've got two great support players. Big Goose is definitely someone I would consider as maybe drafting as a Lucio player, because he has a very balanced approach to Lucio, and he does spend a decent amount of time on the payload as well as still cleaning up the kills and trying to take advantage and exploit enemy weakness. So he's definitely somebody I've got on my radar.
Great. Well, I don't really have much to say because, you know, I'm still trying to transition from, you know, all the endemic teams into where they are now. So give me a couple of weeks once I start realizing who's who once again.
I mean, we don't even know that any of these rosters are going to work out or they're going to be good. These players could have been great on their previous teams and they could totally flounder in the current environment. We're not sure yet. And that's going to be part of this fun.
Yeah, for sure. Like I was just saying, I mean, this next game is the one that I'm most excited to see for the preseason. I think you probably agree. I think we're rooting for the opposite teams on this one, though. So we got Dallas Fuel and the Houston Outlaws. So with this one, I think this is probably going to be the most competitive game of the preseason.
I don't know about that.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, I've heard the Outlaws say that they're just going to have fun with it. I don't think that they're going to try hard because I don't think they want to give away their strategies. I also think that you got to remember that some of these teams, like I said earlier, I don't think a lot of these teams are going to be bringing their A game intentionally. Spree and Lynx are just got to the United States. They've got like maybe 3 or 4 days worth of scrims, maybe a week. And I don't think that the Outlaws want to go head to head. And even if they're in a lose-lose situation, right? So if they win, Dallas, probably arguably one of the best teams in the league, tons of experience and a lot of time together on their core roster. If they lose to Dallas, they lose to Dallas. But if they're saying, like, people are still going to talk smack because the Outlaws are this great personality, they're super marketable. And I think that they're kind of going to be the team that lots of people love and everybody wants to hate you for loving them. So for me, I feel like
you might be right. Dallas is going to go in there and they're going to try hard. I'm pretty sure that's the only mode they have.
I don't know.
Houston, you know, maybe they'll come in and they'll just have fun with it. But I don't know. I kind of feel like this is an opportunity for them to, you know, set the pace, because this is definitely going to be a big rivalry. Two in-state teams. You can't get away from that fact that these are going to be the two teams that are probably going to have the biggest rivalry, in my opinion.
Yeah, definitely. So, for North America, I would not be surprised if London and, you know, Dynasty and New York kind of have their own little rivalry as the Korean teams in the league. But, you know, like, with Dallas, I think that they may come into it and say, all right, we're going to play XQC, Siegel, and Custa in every single match because we can and because we want to get them practice with, you know, whatever other pieces on the team. And so I think that's also possible, in which case you might not be seeing the exact same Dallas Fuel roster that's going to play, on a regular basis at the preseason games. And same thing with Houston. So I think it'll be interesting. I think either way, I'm very excited to see what rosters play. And that is definitely the game that I'm most excited for, because I'll be rooting for Houston, because go Outlaws.
Yeah, well, since, you know, I just moved here to Dallas, I'm going to have to root for him. And Mickey's probably the coolest person in the league, if you ask me.
I mean, I'm not going to deny Mickey is probably one of my favorite players, and I will be getting a jersey of him.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think we both feel the same way. But, you know, it is what it is, man. Well, yeah, with that.
Them. And I'm here in Dallas, too, so I'm still going to root for them. But I think there's some of the players on Outlaws I've been super big fans of, Rockus and Cool Matt, mm-hmm. since, like, the early days. So I'm really excited to root for them, and Clockwork as well, too.
Definitely. There are a lot of people on that Outlaws roster that I like a whole lot. So it'll be a good, definitely be a good game. The last one that we can see right now, as far as the preseason is concerned, we're going to have New York and Boston. And I'm actually, originally, I didn't even think that much about New York. But, you know, here recently, they've really caught my eye, and I'm excited about this team.
Yeah, they've got a really good roster, some seriously good players, Libero. I'm really excited to see him competing here. He got a little roster swap up, and I think that he's probably super excited to be on a new team and obviously make it to Overwatch League. Sabio will be insane. Just insane. Dude, play.
That guy blew my brains out at BlizzCon. Like, just in that arena, that guy was lighting everything up. It was pretty crazy.
Yeah, zero ping tracer is supposed to be one of the best feelings in the world. Just one clipping people with that. I'm sure he was loving it.
The dude looked like he was having, he would like phase in and out. He looked like he was having a great time, and then he was taking it serious. But, oh man, I can't imagine what it must feel like to just pop off like that.
Yeah. I mean, I think that I'm really excited about the New York roster. Again, like I said, I think that we may end up in a situation where there's a good rivalry between London, New York, and Seoul, because right now they're all Korean rosters.
Yep.
And I am sure that somebody in Korea wants to make sure that the Koreans take home, you know, the inaugural season trophy and mm-hmm. For their country. And I don't blame them. I'm sure all three teams are eager to do that. So I'm excited to see what they do against each other. As for who Excelsior will probably be stomping the first week, unfortunately, despite I have a lot of excitement about this team, like I said earlier, is Boston. There's some great players here too, though. I think that you know, a lot of people have been talking about Striker mistakes in Kellex lately. Kellex supposedly being, you know, a very respected Lucio. I know that I saw him in Contender Season 2, and I actually, when I saw that Boston picked him up, I initially thought, hey, that's a good pickup. I mean, he looked really good in Contenders. He made some seriously good plays, a couple 200 IQ moves, if you will. and I've heard on some other podcasts people talking about Striker being extremely good. I've played a few games with Snow before. Definitely a pretty solid Ana player. You know, I haven't seen him play at this level, but I'm excited to see what they bring. And as somebody who has rooted for everything Boston my entire life, it pains me not to be a Boston fan, but I live in Texas now, so, you know, I'm rooting for Outlaws.
I mean, I've heard this team catch a lot of hate.
From me too.
So I want to see what they're able to do. It would be a pretty good, you know, rags to riches story if they're able to overcome all the hate that they've received so far.
Yeah, I think a lot of it is because they signed some more relatively unknown players and some people mm-hmm. who weren't as proven, but you know, regardless of the circumstances or the reasons behind that, you know, I heard some of the Valiant team actually saying that they've been scrimming them, and same with the, I actually wasn't Valiant, it was someone from San Francisco Shock, and said that they will actually surprise everybody because they're looking good. Now, I don't know how good San Francisco is doing right now or how they're gelling, but, you know, just name value of who's on that team, and the name value of who's on Boston, if they're saying that Boston's looking good in the scrims against them, you know, I'm excited because I think that might mean that they're gelling well. And, you know, they did have one of the earlier signings, so maybe they just have a little bit more mojo with each other compared to some of the other teams out there right now.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's going to be one that I'm looking out for them. Maybe maybe the management knew something that the rest of us didn't know, or maybe it'll just be a flop.
But no, never.
But it's something that I want to see.
Reddit knows all.
That's the truth.
I know that we talked about a few players specifically going through the games. One that was actually on the team that I didn't mention the player specifically was Sleepy. I'm definitely excited to see what he can do. He's another player that kind of seen on the up and coming side for a while, and finally is going to get a shot at the top level. I'm excited to see what they can do, especially as somebody who also plays a ton of Ana and loves Ana as a character. I'm excited to watch all the Ana players that made it into the Overwatch League.
Definitely. I mean, it's one of the heroes that's probably most enjoyable for me to watch. It's just a lot of utility in that kit, a lot of big plays that can be made. So
yeah, definitely. And I think that those are going to be some of the struggles of this first season as we kind of try to hash out the stats, is how many sleep darts are going out? Is that comparable to another number for someone else? How can we make that balance and even, especially just even within the support tier itself?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think support's going to be one of the ones that's going to be really hard to balance if we end up ever going with the head-to-head points. But it's definitely something I'm excited to start working through, and as we get more of these statistics throughout the season, it's definitely something we can start fleshing out.
Absolutely, and get ready for season two. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, there's one other thing that do you know what patch they're going to be playing the preseason games?
I didn't even ask that, but that is an awesome question, I would like to know, because that's something else that we're going to have to talk about, and we'll probably do that next week. But patches and stuff playing, which one are they going to play, how that affects different players?
If so, this will be the first pro play we'll see with Moira. So
I'm actually pretty sure I did hear somewhere that Moira will be in play, but some of the pros said they weren't sure how much we would see her. I guess their scrim results are kind of varying so far as people kind of tune her in and see how she's going to interact with the teams.
From what I understand, I heard Custo is spending a lot of time on stream playing her, so maybe that's something we'll see out of that game.
Yeah, I hope so. As we kind of talked about, this being the first episode and the first season of the Overwatch League, we do want to thank you guys for joining us on this first episode. We know it's probably been cringy. We got a lot of stuff to work on, and we will. I promise we're going to figure this all out and figure this as we go. But we do have a couple last things to discuss with all of you humans and the few Omnics that might be listening. Fantasy Watch Season 1. We need players. And right now we do have a few. We're hoping to have a 10-team league for the first season. And we'll be doing a draft sometime either at the end of December or very early January, first couple of days before the league actually starts. And we want to invite some of you guys in the community or our future community to join us in this. So we've set up a Gmail account. If you want to shoot us an email to express your interest, maybe let us know what your background is and maybe what you can help us out with. Because, we are going to need help. Like I said multiple times, we're going to figure this out together and as we go. So if this is something that interests you, maybe you like stats, maybe you just like Overwatch, or maybe you just think this could be a cool project, hit us up, let us know. You can email us. I'll put the email in the show notes, but it's also fantasywatchow@gmail.com.
And we're definitely looking forward to hearing from you guys. Really, we're throwing this together not just because it's something that we want to do, but it's really something that we want to bring to the rest of the community.
Yeah, I think we want that engagement. We want people to be around. We want to create a community where you guys can view our results as well as post your own. We can talk fantasy, talk shop. Who do you guys want to start? Who's going to do the rankings this week? Or, how do you rank this person? What do you think this meta change is going to do? We want to be involved in those discussions, and we want to help facilitate them. A few things, disclaimers about the league. We do want you involved so we can get accurate results and get some feedback. If you're not going to be able to, be involved, or you not sure that you feel comfortable delivering feedback or, anything like that, you can let us know what you want to do or what you can bring to the table. We'll talk to you about it. But we do need people that are going to be able to give us feedback and be involved in the league. No, set it once and then take off and we never see you again. I'll give your team away.
Yeah, for sure. It'll happen. Definitely the consistency and, you know, each and every week, making sure that you're, you know, selecting your rosters, you're providing any feedback on how you think things are going between, you know, how points are being distributed, you know, how the podcast is going. All of those things are going to be really important to us making this, you know, as important, rather as special as possible. But, you know, definitely we're looking forward to hearing from you guys.
Yeah, as Abner touched on, you know, major scoring changes are going to happen during, you know, in between the phases. We'll try to limit them to between the phases, but if we see some glaring issues, we do want to take care of those because we want this to still be fun and not super unbalanced, but we're going to do the best we can. Y'all are still giving Blizzard a chance, and it's been 7 seasons. You can give us a year. No biggs.
Yeah, you make a real good point with that one.
Yeah, so, you know, like I said, figuring it out as we go along, we want to get your guys' help. And we've got a Discord set up. I'm going to put that in there as well. That way you guys can jump in, tell us what you think, also get involved and contact us those ways. And we really look forward to hearing from you guys and seeing what you guys think about fantasy and how you think it might change or impact the way that you guys watch Overwatch or even other esports. You know, so I do want to let Tim or Abner jump in here and tell you guys a little bit about how you can contact him or anybody he wants to shout out.
My Twitter is AbnerdOW, so that's pretty much the main way that you can get in touch with me. Of course, the Discord, which we're definitely looking forward to communicating with you guys through there. What about you, Invictus?
You can hit me up on Twitter. I'm InvictusOW. I'm also InvictusOW on Twitch, and you can reach me in the Discord as well as email me at InvictusFrags or at gmail.com or at FantasyWatchOW at gmail.com. Next week, tune in. You can hear more about head-to-head ideas based on our scoring system. Hopefully we'll have some results from the preseason so that we can start talking to you guys about the exact point systems that we're going to be implementing, as well as start finalizing that so that we can get that out to the people that are going to be in our league. You know, in episodes after that, we're going to talk about all kinds of different things. Some of the things that I can let you know, we're going to be doing player rankings. We're going to go over how to draft strategies, draft strategies specifically for Overwatch, statistical formulas, what they are, how they impact fantasy. I'd love to do a mock draft if we have some interest in that. That's where we can maybe do like get even our real team if or the real league if they want. And we could do a live draft and publish that so you guys can see who's picking who where. And that might be something fun for people to take part in. We'll go over what's happening on in the league. And hopefully, you know, depending on who wants to get involved and participate in the Fantasy Watch League, you know, I'd love to get some of those members onto the show to talk about their experience with the Fantasy Watch, as well as what they think it might mean for the future of Overwatch.
Yeah, definitely. Well, it's been really, it's been a good show. I'm looking forward to this preseason and then the regular season at the beginning of the year. So,
absolutely. I want to thank you guys for tuning in and joining us here at Fantasy Watch. Until next time.